2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Reading for you at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Timothy the brother, to the church of God which is in Corinth, with the saints, all of the saints, the ones being in the whole region of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed is. In the English text it says, blessed be the God. But there is no be. It's just a factual statement. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassions and God of all comfort, the one who is comforting us over all of our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those in every affliction through the comfort which we are being comforted by God. Because just as the sufferings of Christ are abounding towards us, in like manner, also, our comfort is abounding towards us through Christ. Now, whether we be afflicted, it is on behalf of your comfort and salvation, which is being energized in endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we are comforted, it is on behalf of your comfort and salvation. And our hope is firm. The word firm, bebios, has to do with established. Our hope is established on your behalf, having known that just as you are partakers of the sufferings, in like manner also you are partakers of the comfort. For I do not desire you to be ignorant, brothers, on behalf of our affliction, which has happened to us in Asia, that according to excess, we were burdened beyond strength or power, so as to be in despair, even to live. But we also, having within ourselves the judgment of death, in order that we might not trust upon ourselves, but upon God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and is delivering, unto whom we have hoped that also still he will deliver. And you also, working together on our behalf with respect to prayer, in order that the gift, that's the word charisma, that the gift which is towards us, which is from out of many persons, might be for the making of thanks through many on our behalf. What seems like a brief introduction that has no meat to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, is just a dynamic presentation. First of all, let me say to you about 2 Corinthians. It is numbered as the second letter to Corinthians in our Bibles because we only have two letters. We have evidence that there were more than two letters written by Paul to the Christians in Corinth. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, that in the first letter he alluded to writing to them earlier. So actually the first letter that we have could be the second or even the third letter, and the second letter we have could be the third. Anyway, we only have two letters. That's all God wanted preserved. And we have those two letters with us. We're now focusing on the second letter, which is at least the third that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians is divided into three sections. Chapters 1 through 7, Paul defines the ministry. Again, chapters 1 through 7, Paul defines the ministry. Chapters 8 and 9, Paul discusses the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. We've already studied that briefly at the end of the first letter. But in chapters 8 and 9, Paul discusses the collection for the saints that are in Jerusalem. Chapters 10 through 13, Paul defends his ministry. Paul defends his ministry. As you can tell, this entire letter has to do with ministry. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in Paul's day, Paul was not respected by many churches to be an apostle or even to be from the Lord. In this letter, Paul reveals that after he left Corinth, and even after he wrote to them in the first letter that we have, that other people came into Corinth and said that they were super apostles. And they put Paul down. Now, what is interesting is they presented themselves as the success story. Look how rich we are. Look how healthy we are. Look how many problems Paul has. Look how sick he always gets. The man's always in poverty. He's always into trouble. He's always thrown into jail. Everywhere he goes, there is nothing but affliction. That's a key word in our text, is the word affliction. The word affliction is the word thlipsis. Thlipsis. It has to do with stress and pressure. In Acts chapter 14 at verse 22, Paul went back through the territories that he had evangelized and told them that it is through much affliction that we enter into the kingdom of God. So he says, be expecting it. Expect a lot of pressure, a lot of stress that's going to chase you to Christ. That's going to squeeze you towards the kingdom of God in this earthly life. Paul described his life as a life of affliction, thlipsis. So that when others came into Corinth and ministered, they compared their success, their human success, with Paul's affliction and said, he can't be an apostle because of all the trouble, all the affliction that he finds himself in. So in chapters 1 through 7, as we define the ministry, we also want to say to you that we're not defining the ministry as in vocation or profession, that is, those who are pastors and teachers. He's making mention for all Christians and all saints. Everybody who is a believer is a minister. In fact, I saw a bulletin once, a church bulletin that had a list of the ministers in the church. And it was just a small church, but it had the pastor's name up front, and then it had three columns of names. And the response was, how could so many ministers be in such a small church? They're all ministers. Well, the pastor says, because the whole congregation. We don't call them members, we call them ministers. Because every believer is a minister for Christ. Every believer represents Jesus Christ. Every believer is used by Christ to minister the things of Christ. So you talk about insights at what it means to walk with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and serve Him. We're going to find that out in chapters 1 through 7. So 1 through 7, Paul defines the ministry. Chapters 8 and 9, he discusses the collection for the saints. And chapters 10 through 13, Paul defends his ministry. And that's a fascinating chapter where he lists the afflictions that he must go through. And that expresses his ministry, the fact that he's been called by God. In chapters 1 through 7, as he defines the ministry, there is a code word, a marker within the text. It is the word comfort. Paraklesis. It's the same word used in John chapters 14 and 16 for the word for the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Paraklesis, exact same word. Paraklesis means to be called alongside of. Para is alongside of, and kaleo is to be called. So when we talk about comfort, we're not talking about the Lord coming and holding someone and kissing them and making their flesh feel better. He's talking about the comfort that he gives is that he calls his Spirit alongside to lead us and to guide us in the midst of the hardship and affliction that we're in. There are no promises and guarantees in the Scripture that God's Spirit is going to ease the affliction that the flesh is going through. He will guide us through. He will deliver us, as Paul said later on in this first chapter, is God has delivered us, He is delivering us, and we have hope that He still will yet also deliver us in the future. He does deliver us, but it's by way of comfort, of coming to us. It's a word that describes experiencing God's Spirit in the midst of affliction. Again, the word comfort means to experience God's Spirit in the midst of affliction. That's what the comfort means. Verses 1 and 2 is the introduction. Verses 3 through 7, the source of comfort. Verses 8 through 11, the application of comfort. I'll give you those again. Verses 1 and 2, the introduction. Verses 3 through 7, the source of comfort. And verses 8 through 11, the application of comfort. First of all, verses 1 and 2. He calls himself Paul, apostle. In the Greek text, it's just those two words, Paul, apostle. Apostle is his title. The word apostle, apostolos, means sent out with a commission. So right away he is presenting himself as someone who has been commissioned by God to represent the things of the Lord to the church. Secondly, in describing himself, he says he is an apostle through the will of God. That's a literal translation. It is through God's will, not his personal choice. It is God's calling and God's leading that has called him to be an apostle. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, he says he's an apostle. Not through men, nor from men, but through Jesus Christ. So it's not his ambition, it is not his choice. Paul was a called apostle, sent out by God with a commission through God's will. Secondly, in verse 1 it tells us, the letter is also from Timothy, so let's not lose track of the fact that 2 Corinthians is only from Paul. It is also from Timothy, and we were introduced to him at the end of letter 1, that Timothy was now Paul's personal aide, whom Paul sent to them to minister the things of Christ. To whom it is written? It is to the church in Corinth, but it is to every saint in the entire whole region of the province of Asia. So it was written directly to the Christians in Corinth, but this is for everybody. Everything in 2 Corinthians applies to all Christians, not just to the Christians in Corinth. In verse 2, he gives his greeting. It is the greeting, both a Jewish greeting and Greek greeting. He says, grace to you and peace. Charis for grace would be the greeting to the Greeks or Gentiles. Shalom would be the Hebrew word from where Irene comes from. Irene is peace to the Jews. This is Paul's way of greeting both the Gentiles and the Jews who are in the body of Christ. He's also, he says, it expresses his motive. It's not just a formal greeting. It is Paul's way of saying that it is his desire and his motive that God's grace and God's peace touch everyone's heart when they listen to what he has to say. That's his motive. Verses 3 through 7. The source of comfort. The source of comfort. First of all, he says, blessed or blessed is. It's a statement of fact. The word be is in the New Testament. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it makes it sound like there's some kind of a pronouncement of a blessing upon God. But in reality, it's a factual statement. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word blessed is eulogeo, to speak well of. It's the same word in the New Testament for giving of thanks for food. And I think we need to understand that when we make reference to the blessing, giving the blessing of our food, is that it would be improper to ask for God's blessing on the food. To bless the food means to speak well of it, to give thanks for it to God. And that's what the word blessing means, eulogeo, to speak well of. So God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is well spoken of. And there's a reason why he is presenting this to start off verse 3. He is well spoken of because he's going to share with us that God purposely leads us, creates for us circumstances of affliction, so that in the midst of affliction we can experience his comfort, so that we can turn and comfort and minister that comfort to others who are in affliction. Everybody is in fleecies. Everybody is in stress. Everybody is in affliction, and God creates it. In fact, again, that text in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, he says, it is necessary through affliction to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it is divinely ordained that we suffer affliction, this thlipsis, this stress, that God creates circumstances for us that we could be in those circumstances and experience His Spirit, because once we experience His comfort, we now share with others the comfort by which we are being comforted by God. So he says in verse 3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is described as the Father of compassions. It's also the word for mercies. The Father of compassions and God of all comfort. And again, that's the word paraklesis. That's who God is. He's a God of compassion. He is a God of comfort. But in order for us to experience the God of compassion and the God of comfort, we must be afflicted. So affliction is necessary. Everything has been created to experience His compassion and His comfort. That's what affliction is for. Verse 4. He describes the God of all compassion, the Father of all compassion and God of all comfort, as the one who is comforting. It's a participle. It shows what God is continually doing. He is the one who is continually comforting, Paul says, in all of our afflictions. Then he presents the purpose. The purpose is that so we will be able to comfort all of those in affliction through the comfort by which God is comforting us. That's the ministry. If you want to be used by Christ, you can expect affliction. Because our ministry to others and our sharing with others of the things of Christ come from experiencing Him. It's not just our head knowledge of Scripture or quoting Scripture at people. It's literally experiencing the afflictions that come with walking with Christ. He also called them the sufferings of Christ. Realizing that when you walk with Christ, not only are you walking in His resurrection power, but we are also walking in the fellowship of His sufferings. They go hand in hand. So that while I experience the sufferings of Christ, though I experience the afflictions that accompany walking with Christ, I also experience the comfort and the compassion that the Lord has for us as I come to Him in my reality and in my truth, confessing to Him of my inability, my frailty, because the trials and the afflictions bring me to weakness, cause me to experience His strength, cause me to experience His compassion, cause me to experience His comfort. Here's an example for you, and we'll get to it when we get to chapter 12. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul presented the fact that he knew such a man. He used the third person singular in relating to himself. He says he knew such a man that was caught up in the third heaven and experienced and saw things and heard things that were unlawful for him to repeat here on the earth in human terms. But he says, because of the revelation that was given, he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, I sought the Lord three times for this. Lord, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. Whether it was bad eyesight, whether it was some other kind of health problem, Satan was buffeting his flesh and he was experiencing poor health. And so when he came to God, he prayed three times for deliverance. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's response was that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul's whole prayer life, his whole approach to life changed. Paul then says, I rejoice in my tribulations and my trials and my hardships for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He began to realize that the afflictions in his life were to make him weak so that he would turn and put his trust in the Lord and experience the Lord's strength and the Lord's comfort and the Lord's compassion. He realized that the afflictions and hardships and trials of life are by God's design. As we try to solve our problems with our own resources, our own logic, our own reason, the trials are to wear us down, to make us realize, as Jesus said in John 15:5, that without me you cannot do one thing. We think we can do it without him. But the trials and afflictions of life bring us to our knees in front of Christ and cause us to experience his strength and his compassion and his sufferings. He says in verse 5, the reason for this, he had related in verse 4, that he is the one comforting us in all of our afflictions so that we can comfort others with the comfort with which we are being comforted by God. Verse 5 says, because as the sufferings of Christ abound toward us, in the same way the comfort through Christ is abounding. So just as the sufferings of Christ are abounding towards us, in the same way, the Greek says, in the same way the comfort of Christ through Jesus Christ is abounding towards us. It's equal. So we both experience the sufferings of Christ and we both experience the comfort of Christ along with it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, which is a favorite verse of mine, he says, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings while being made conformable to his death. So he says, if I want to know Jesus Christ, it is not only knowing the power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship with his sufferings. So as the sufferings of Christ abound towards us, so do the comforts of through Christ are also abounding towards us. Verse 6, he says, but whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. How do you like that for a ministry? He says, whether we are afflicted, it is for the benefit of other people. Not so that we can experience the comfort of Christ, but so that we can experience that comfort and be able to minister to other people. So he says, whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, which is energized in endurance. So our comfort and our salvation is energized by the Holy Spirit by remaining under in endurance with the same sufferings that we suffer, Paul said. Whether we are comforted, it is on behalf of your comfort and your salvation. So Paul says we're all afflicted the same. We all suffer the same. But Paul says we're afflicted so that for your comfort and salvation. We are comforted for your comfort and salvation. It's all so that we might experience the reality of Christ and our identification with the oneness in the body of Christ. We all suffer together. We all comfort together. We all share in the sufferings of Christ. We all share in the comforts of Christ. Verse 7, he says, our hope is firm, established. As partakers of the sufferings of Christ, in the same manner, we are partakers of the comfort of Christ. That is something that is established. Verses 8 through 11, the application of comfort. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of our affliction, which has happened to us in all of Asia. Boy, talk about identification. Look at verse 8. He says, we were burdened excessively beyond strength, even to the point that we were in despair to even live. Well, you talk about depression. You talk about discouragement. Paul says that he was even to the point, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, to despair, even to want to continue on to live. He says in verse 9, we have had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we might not put our trust upon ourselves, but upon God who raises the dead. So he says we have the sentence of death. Later on in 2 Corinthians, he will say, I die daily. I'm dying every day, and I have this sentence upon me. In such despair sometimes that I don't even want to continue to live. But he says, we have this sentence of death to cause us, to make us, to learn to not to put trust upon ourselves, but to put our trust upon God. He says in verse 10, God has delivered us from so great a death. He is delivering us now, and we have hoped that He will also still deliver us in the future. So he says we have the sentence of death, and God continues to deliver us out of each time that we're in affliction in order to teach us not to trust in ourselves, but to put our trust in the Lord. Verse 11, he says, and also you're working with us. He says, your prayers on our behalf, in order that the gift, the charisma, that has been expressed towards us from out of many people, thanks may be given but through many on our behalf. So he says, as God's people have ministered to us in our affliction, as the gift has been expressed towards us from out of many people, that ministry of God's grace. And as God has delivered us from out of all of the affliction, many people will give thanks. That's the whole idea of ministry, is that people's hearts will be turned towards the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving for all of His grace and all of His comfort. That's why verse 3 starts out, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That Paul could be in such despair, in such depression and discouragement, even to be in despair of to live itself. And yet at the same time, we have a tendency to not speak well of God during those times of discouragement. But Paul says God is to be well spoken of because He is the Father of all compassion and the God of all mercy, and He wants us to experience that compassion. He wants us to experience that mercy. So He designs affliction that we might experience the faithfulness of God's grace ministering to our hearts. And it is through affliction that we minister to others. Not the presentation of success in the human realm, but rather the expression of comfort and compassion and mercy in ministering to people to, again, that grace, that charisma, ministering through us to others so that other people might lift their hearts up to the Lord in thanksgiving for all that He is and all that He has done. So we share with the comforts, we share with the afflictions of Christ. Every believer is going through hardship. Every believer is experiencing the faithfulness of the Lord. These are times and these are reasons why we struggle so. Because we want to believe what the Bible says with our minds. And hopefully that'll make everything okay. But experiencing the Word of God, experience the God of the Word, is really what God wants. The Word of God explains to us and gives us understanding. And we go out in life now and we know that God is going to bring trials and He's going to bring afflictions, so that we can experience all that He is, all of His compassion and mercy and all of His comfort as His Spirit guides us and ministers to us through each and every situation. That is our testimony. Not the knowledge of the Bible, but experiencing Christ and His faithfulness. So we can expect affliction. But it's not only for our growth process, but it's also for the benefit of others, that we might know firsthand the experience of what it's like to experience God's faithfulness in ministry to us. Next week we'll finish out this chapter as Paul continues to express to us and explain to us what ministry is all about. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for another time in Your Word. And again, we do want to speak well of You. You are blessed. You are the Father of all compassions, the God of all comfort. We have a tendency to complain, to murmur, to grow bitter over the things that we must suffer through, not realizing that they have been created for us to experience Your faithfulness and ministry to our hearts, that we might experience You firsthand, Your strength and Your power. And just like Paul, we pray that You'd create in us the attitude, the understanding of welcoming trials and welcoming tribulations, because when we are weak, then we are strong. Help us to arrive at a place when we realize the purpose for affliction, that they are designed by God for our growth, for the ministry to others. Help us to be receptive to those times of affliction. Help us to learn to trust You, to learn to look to You as our strength and as our guide, to receive that ministry of compassion and mercy. We just thank You for these times together, that we can gain understanding of how You work, the purposes for Your divine plan for each of us. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.